load shedding. Again, under a director. Goodness me. Another 2 hours of doom and gloom. When will it end? Sure, are you mad? Frustrated? I know I am. So one of our prominent journalists, Mandy Wiener, recently wrote, "We are anxious and on edge. We need to talk about the mental health impact that load shedding is having on us as a collective. It permeates every aspect of our lives, and the knock-on effects are real. It makes me angry, short-tempered, and irritable. I know I'm not alone in this. Can you relate?" Contrast this to our camping weekend we just went on last weekend near Rawsonville. Beautiful campsite, lovely weather, the bubbling brook coming past. Yeah, the stars, beautiful. Moonlight, sitting around a campfire. No Eskom, natural light. What a change. We were so relaxed and so happy. We didn't notice time. You know, you get up when the sun comes up and you go to bed when it gets dark. Beautiful weekend. You just feel closer to God, don't you? So this morning we're going to really keep it really simple. Hope that as we approach Christmas and the New Year, this message this morning may bring you some kind of hope and inspiration or an encouragement. But a few aids to help you this morning. Turn the church down. So Kat said I can only have a very short candle. I can only speak for as long as it burns. So here we go. So to kick us off, a few questions. What are some of the large means that you resort to when load shedding happens? You want to shout out any answers? Go for it. Candles? What else do we use?
Phones.
Phone lights, yes.
Torches,
absolutely.
Yes. Bridges.
Yeah, it goes as you want. If you got the money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever, do some of you use those sort of garden lights that work with solar, or put them in your windowsill and the sun charges them and you get a sort of a faint glow, but it's enough to help you not walk into the wall or whatever? Those sort of things, right? Maybe just a quick survey. I'm going to ask if you prefer a sunrise or a sunset. So hands up those. Prefer sunrise, hands up. Okay, sunset, those? No, more on the sunset, okay. I think for me it's a sunrise. We love getting up early, like on Easter morning. We go down to the Fisher Beach, and you get those sort of warm rays just starting to come through, and it lights up everything, and you see the bits of orange on the mountain as it starts to hit. Beautiful, we love sunrises. God has given us that. Yep. Have you ever, any of you ever hiked up Elsie's Peak by moonlight? There we go. Great. Lovely thing to do. It's a little bit dangerous, but there's a certain full moon that if you go up, there's plenty of light. You can see the rocks as you walk up and down. Has anyone of you ever seen the Northern Lights? Wonderful. How was it?
Beautiful.
Wow. So a few facts about light, and I got this off the internet, so if you young scholars say it's wrong, it's not my fault. So light travels at the speed of around 300,000 kilometers per second. So if you traveled at the speed of light, you would go around the Earth 7.5 times in a second. It's incredible what God has created. So light is made up of all the colors mixed together. So white light is split up into red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Light is a beam of energy, travels in wavelengths. And us humans can only see certain colors. They say that animals can actually see different shades of colors because, insects and certain animals that we can't even imagine. We don't have words for those colors. Plants turn light from sun into food. Photosynthesis. Northern lights, display of colored lights in the sky of the North Pole, caused by energy from the sun interacting with gases surrounding the Earth, I believe. thunder and lightning. So you see the lightning and then you hear the thunder. It's a delayed response. Sunlight can reach about a depth of 80 meters into the ocean. It's interesting, I've heard this week that in terms of Earth population, the 8 billionth human was born. I don't know how they got to that or recorded that, but 8 billion people on the planet. And they say, scientists say that our planet can only sustain 9 or 10 billion. So we are fast approaching the end. And how will our Earth respond in terms of energy, human life, and so on? Or will the Lord come before that? Do we have our PowerPoint? Thanks. So the challenge this morning is to let your light shine. And I want to speak mainly about Jesus and the light that he gives us. It's not about our talents, while those are important, and giving those to the Lord to use. It's about the light that's inside of us because of Jesus. John 8:12 tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's the source. So 2 Corinthians 4 reminds us that we are just plain old clay pots with cracks in, unattractive, but for the light that we have inside of us through knowing Jesus. Let's start from the understanding this morning that in and of ourselves, we have very little light. Yet, God is gracious, and he entrusts this amazing responsibility to each of us. Wow, isn't he amazing? Thanks for that great reading. Not one mistake. You should be up here preaching. So that the verses around life were so encouraging, weren't they? And challenging and inspirational. So the analogies of salt and light come after the Beatitudes, those kind of mantra on how to live as a Christian, the ideals, the kingdom values, the standards. For example, God blesses those who are humble. It's counterculture to today's world. Blessed are the humble. And it seems to be fairly early in Jesus' teaching ministry, so he's laying a foundation of what is to come, of his upside-down kingdom that is radically different to what the world puts up. In verse 14, it moves to a personal view. You are the light of the world. Now, in English language, you, the pronoun, can refer to singular or plural upon it. You are the light of the world. It could be you, Grant, or all of us. Now in Afrikaans, you've got yay and yellow, and many other languages differentiate. But there's an English example of a particular thing in the English language. So I think he is speaking to all of us. Can he really be saying that we, me, you, and us are the light of the world? Surely not. Gosh, what a massive vote of confidence. Does he really believe in me that much? Isn't that a bit risky? Surely not me. Maybe Pastor John, Grant Griffiths, Frank Koch. And I just want to affirm this morning, Jesus loves you so much. He believes in you so much. And he sees massive potential in each of us. Can this really be so? This morning I want us to explore the thing of what is being the light of the world. I think the standard Christian answer would just be, I tell people about Jesus. And I think that is the main thing, but let's explore a bit together. Living in Fishhook 2022, what does it mean for us? Okay. Thanks. Can we go to the next slide? So these are some examples. We listen. I mean, first and foremost, as Christians, our challenge is to listen. We're too quick to dive in and all the answers. I think with people of other faiths, with just people who don't know Jesus, maybe a good first step is just to listen. Be with people, hear what they have to say. We give them the time and space. We show interest. We engage with them. We pause. We stop. And we listen. Thank you. Next slide. We watch and we discern. We read the news, scary as it may. We consider what Jesus would do in every situation. We try and discern the truth. We're very informed. We're an informed bunch of people. And we're ready to give an answer. In In Ephesians 5 verse 6, we see that as we are now in the light, we are to discern empty, deceiving words, and rather to discern what pleases the Lord and to walk in that way. Thank you. Next one. We gather. One of the most important things we can do as Christians is to get together on a Sunday morning. It's a visible thing to our community. It's a witness that Jesus is alive and his kingdom is alive. Such an important thing. And I speak to myself after COVID was a struggle to, we still struggle with it, on a Sunday morning to get back to church. But the fact that we get together, it can be in small group, we demonstrate our desire to worship God together, openly, in public, everyone invited. The doors are open of the church. In Hebrews 10:24, we urge to continue gathering, stirring each other on to good works. Isn't that wonderful? Next one, thanks. We build. There's our blessed main road. Okay, we help build our society. We contribute. We include, and we are included. Pay our traffic fines. We are positive. We're involved in the affairs of our community. Okay. We write. Every one of us is a Christian writer. Do you believe that? Think of all the WhatsApps you send every day, all the Facebook posts. We are all Christian writers. And I mean, I think you get the famous people, like for me, C.S. Lewis is just. My vision of heaven, my imagination is largely governed by what is in the Narnia books and the movies. I thought they were powerful. Just this vision of Aslan and a new kingdom and of life and death, a wonderful Christian writer. But we can all use our writing skills for the kingdom. Can you see on that slide? Sorry, go back one more. Thank you. There's Eric Dixie's email signature. And see the little line at the bottom? What does it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's such a small, simple thing, but you put it on your email signature and it makes people think, doesn't it? It's wonderful. Cool, thank you. We speak, we have a voice. We say things about important issues in our community. We send voice notes of encouragement. We pray out loud in corporate prayer. We speak up at parent evenings at the school meetings. We try to guide our young people. Even our Christian students take part in social activism. We're not afraid to speak up and tell people about Jesus. Almost like put into words what we're trying to demonstrate in our lifestyles. Okay? We confront with tact and love. We take off our blinkers. We go against the tide when necessary. We strive for good business ethics. We strive for justice. We try and help end the evils of the world, the social ills that are in our community. We also caution fellow believers. It's not an easy thing to do, isn't it? I think God calls us to step in certain times and to say a word. And Galatians 6 gives us some good guidelines on confronting and restoring in humility because we realize we are the same. We persevere. We never stop praying for others, especially for our kids, our grandkids, our loved ones, all over the country, over the world. We don't stop praying. We intercede. We are glasses half full. We never give up. As Christians, we lend a helping hand. We keep believing in people. We do the right thing, even when others aren't watching. We expect. We are people of great faith. We have a massive God. We can do great things. We step out in faith. We attempt big things. John Thomas from Baptist Church used to have a slogan, we dare to risk for God. I think that's wonderful. We're not afraid to get to the edge and to risk for him. And lastly, we love. I like that picture of the guys gathering around the poikies there. At the coast somewhere, looks like a transkai, former transkai. Most importantly, we love those around us. Christian and non-Christian. We tell people about Jesus, what he's done in our lives. We are inclusive. We are generous. We are hospitable. We show grace and mercy. And then we love and care for God's creation. I think as Christians, We need to take this responsibility for plants, animals, and our ecosystems. How does God help us do this? Sounds impossible, doesn't it? And there we go, three ideas. The Holy Spirit is with us. You know, Jesus himself said, it's better that I go away and that the Spirit comes and is with me. So Jesus was with that group of people, but the Holy Spirit can be with all of us. I don't know how that works across the whole world, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is our daily companion, our daily presence with God. So in John 16, verse 5 to 15, it speaks about the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus leaves. And different versions use different titles for the Holy Spirit. I thought this was amazing. So different translations use different words. The Advocate. Imagine an advocate on your side. The Helper. The Comforter. The Companion. The Counselor. And then the Message uses the Friend. It speaks about the Friend coming alongside you. It's wonderful. I love that. So the Holy Spirit, in a sense, tells us day by day what Jesus wants us to hear. Isn't that incredible? He magnifies Jesus in our hearts, helps us to follow Jesus every day. Secondly, daily Bible reading, and I think this is what it's using to Bible engagement. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. If anything, let's try and get into a regular Bible reading habit next year. Almost like when you read the word in the morning. Doesn't matter who you come into contact with during the day. The Holy Spirit uses that. He gives you words to be able to say on that moment where you can't think of anything. You know, this morning I read about whatever, in Exodus, the nation, Jewish nation, and it was around God's holiness. And it may not be so important, but it gives you something to say in that moment. And then thirdly, we're in this together as Christians. Christians are definitely not lone rangers. We are light together, encouraging each other, spurring each other on. So I just want to read those verses again from the Message this time. Now the Message has its challenges, but I love the way it expresses some of the key verses that we love, and this is one of them. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. I will make you light bearers. You don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, you must shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So what? I think we need to reflect our God, reflect God, that people will be drawn to him. Let's take up this challenge next year. So what kind of light are you? Got the candle? It's nearly done. I actually know what this light is, but it's sort of a light. Flickers a little bit, you can see. What else have we got? There's one of those solar jobbies. So it sits in the window, and when nighttime comes on, he's got a nice little light that he gives to the lounge. Yeah. That was beautiful. So for some people, it's to be elegant and to be beautiful in our community. Isn't that lovely? Did not break it. So here's one. Can you see that little purple light inside it? That's to kill the mozzies when you're sleeping. And then it's got a little light. Three different things. Isn't that cool? Such a cool light. Yeah, yeah. Very basic torch. Small, but it's useful. All right. Is this you next year? A bigger torch? Nice thing is it's quite heavy, so if you see an intruder, you can probably whack them over the head. It's a very useful torch. Got a little front light. Nice for camping. You hang it in your tent. Very cool little light. And it works so well. Probably my favorite. It's probably the best light you can have. It's a head torch, right? Wherever you go, you're on a camping weekend, you wear this because you're sorted. So folks, just in conclusion, to what end? Why all of this? I think the thought this morning is to bring God glory, isn't it? It's not about me and the number of likes I can get, or my LinkedIn profile, or for my CV. Rather, it's to glorify Him, to lead others to Him, to be a blessing to others. We love not out of selfish desire, but owing to our own sinfulness and awareness of saving grace, and the love and the light of Jesus shining in us. God needs us all next year, all the colours of the light. Have I been hiding my light? A searching question. I urge you to be what He needs you to be. The lady with the head torch. God bless you.
Trust the sweetest frame, but